very much, Gary. Really appreciate it. It's for me, it's always a pleasure to come here. And it was almost once a year for a bit, and then maybe it slowed down. But I don't take any offense to that. I'm teasing. I'm kidding. Humor is a good thing. I think God has given us humor to be able to get through some of the things in life. And in fact, Gary, as you were saying, that email didn't quite go through. I was almost going to stop you because when Gary mentioned that, he actually didn't get my sermon title. And this was a couple days later, I thought, oh, because I think God's leading me in a different sermon passage. So it's almost, I know, you stood up here, said very nice things, and now I need to, reply that back to you, Gary. But I actually have changed it to Romans 16. But, the grace of God. And so I asked for mercy, too, on all that. But you guys didn't know what I was going to preach on. So it's always good to read more than one passage of Scripture, too, as well. But it still is a part of lives being worthy of the call of God. But if you do have your Bibles, and we'll look at it in just a moment, to Romans chapter 16 as we walk through. And touching on some of the things that I've been asked to share a little bit, we're here to listen to the Word of God. And then out of the Word of God, what does He want? What does He have for us as individuals, for us as a church family, and for us beyond our church family? So I'll share a little bit of our fellowship as we go through this morning. But it is good to be here with you. Thank you for all of those of you who have stepped up over the last little while. I hear that we can call Pastor Keon. We got about 2 days. So if we haven't got our phone call into him yet, I think you've just been given permission to call him. So I don't know. You could ask him whatever. That might come back. I'm sorry, Pastor Keon. But we do appreciate you and others who have stepped up during this time for Tommy and who step up on a regular basis. And actually, that's what this morning is about. It's about being a team. And if there's anything else about this morning, let's try on. Know this, the good news of Jesus Christ requires a team. If you get nothing else out of this morning, know that you are a part of a team. God has called us to be part of a team. We are part of a team. And the good news of Jesus Christ actually calls us to be part of this team and to step up and to let Christ live through us as a team. Romans 16 says this, I commend you to our, I'm going to, just so you know, there's a lot of names in this passage. So I apologize now if I don't get some right, and you can tell me later, but God is gracious in this, but wonderful names. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. So this is Paul, and he's writing a letter sharing about all those who have helped, okay, in his ministry. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Think about that for a minute. He was the first convert to Christ in the whole of Asia. I don't know if some of you might be the first convert in your family to Christ. What a blessing. What a challenge, I'm sure. But what an honor. And Paul wants to highlight that. But he keeps on going. He says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Androgynous and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles and were in Christ before me. Who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Estrobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Interesting family name. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to us all, to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow co-worker, greets you. And so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is a host with me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greets you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, and to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, what a passage. Lots in there. I don't know if you've ever read Romans 16 or stopped to think about Romans 16, because it really is just full of names for the most part. So let's take a look for this morning at our time and kind of ask God, why would you do this? Why is this an important part of your letter, of Paul's letter, of our scriptures? Again, the theme, the good news of Jesus Christ requires a team. I don't know if you've been on teams. This is a team that I've been on, and it's a ball team. And for several years, I coached and I played on a competitive mixed softball team. So one year, our team was playing a game, and by the way, softball, did any of you play softball? Okay, I know what I can explain and what I don't need to explain. This is great. So we were playing the game, and when you hit the ball, you run around the three bases, come home, and you get a score. Okay, simple enough. That might be too simple for some of you. One of our players hit the ball. He ran around the bases, and he was coming into third base, okay? And third base was right in front of our dugout where our team was staying. And as he came into third base, he slid. So he got down and basically dove down and slid into the base so he wouldn't get tagged and out by the ball. And as he slid, we all heard crack, just like that. That was good timing, by the way. It was just like that. And we thought, uh-oh, what happened? And as we're all kind of watching our player and struggling now for what just happened, I don't know if we were stunned. I don't know if we had just thought, what happened? What's our response? But none of us moved. And he's probably 20 feet in front of us. While this happened, the other team, again, our enemies, the team we wanted to win against, the team that wanted to beat us, they all of a sudden started calling some of their players to help out our player at third base because he couldn't get up. And while they're doing that, we're watching this. Not only did that, they ended up calling the ambulance. Our player broke his ankle. And they called the ambulance. Ambulance came. They helped our player up and took him to the ambulance. We watched this and watched him go. As we're going through this, and I think about it now, we did not respond as we should have. It probably didn't help that some people on our team struggled with this one player that hurt himself. I don't know if you can see it. You probably can't. Can anybody see what the name of our teams are? I meant to bring a jersey and I forgot. You probably can't. Our team's name is the Village IDIOTS, the village idiots. You know, I think that day, and this isn't what I want you to remember as we walk away today, but I think our name was very fitting of our team that day towards our player. We did not help him. We did not help him. I'm not saying that sometimes there aren't idiots in the village. I'm not saying that sometimes that idiot is me. But today, I just want you to remember that it takes a team. It takes your team to spread the hopeful news of Jesus Christ. We have a team. You have a team. I was looking at your church's website. I don't know how many of you look at your church's website. And on your website, there's something called calling, conviction, and confidence. Do you know that? And it's almost right at the front. Your calling is at the front. And then if you look a little deeper, it comes with your conviction and your confidence. So it says on your website, welcome to Oak Ridge, which is great. It means absolutely, come on in, right? That's what we want. We want you to be a part of this church family. And then if you look a little deeper, it says this, our calling is this, Oak Ridge Baptist Church is a multicultural church family, loving God, loving others, and serving our world. And we do that here through spiritual growth and discipleship and worship. We love God. We do it through small groups. We love others. We do it as ministry. In other words, we serve in various places in this world and support others who do. And that's done through prayer and through God. You have team language. You are a team. This is awesome. This is wonderful. Because God says good news requires a team. Now, you have a team. It's interesting. We're not going to go look at all the names here. But if you read verses 1 to 16, if we were to look that again in verses 21 to 24 in chapter 16, it says this. The Apostle Paul was on a team. In fact, the team was so important to him that he lists all his teammates. And we get a glimpse of that, right? That's what we just read. Paul wants us to remember how important our team is. He wants us to remember how important our teammates are. And so he lists them. In fact, if you look at his team, it is this. Paul mentions over 30 people and groups that have helped him. 9 of these names are, in fact, women. 1/3 of his team is made up of women. What does that say? It says that both women and men have equal roles in ministry, and both are important to Paul's team. He could not succeed without them, without all of his team. House churches were mentioned. So churches are a part of this team. Jews and Gentiles were mentioned. So different cultures are a part of this team. We all have a part to play on the team. So the question God is asking us this morning, what's your role? What's your role on this team at Oak Ridge Baptist Church? Because you do have a role, and we need you to play that role. Paul said that his team helped him. In fact, he says they risked their lives for him. He had been in prison with some of them. They were dear friends to him. They cared for him and worked hard for the Lord. At every point in his ministry, Paul needed a team. Paul needed others. So do we. God created us to be a team. In fact, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, they talk about our gifts and our abilities to serve on the team. We're not going to look at those this morning, maybe for another time. But know this, Paul was a friend maker, not just a soul winner. Paul was a friend maker, not just a soul winner. We are stronger together than we are apart. That's what God wants to remind us of. So do you know that you're on a team? Do you know that your team is better when you serve? This team is called Oak Ridge Baptist Church. It's a great team. It's a fantastic team. We've been praying and celebrating some of your leaders this morning. But we all have a role on this team. And that role is to love Jesus and follow Jesus. Oak Ridge Baptist Church is also on a team called Fellowship Pacific, which was mentioned by Gary this morning. Fellowship Pacific's mission is this: to leverage the collective strength of our churches, and actually I needed to add on that, and agencies for a God-honoring impact. Together, we are stronger for a God-honoring impact. That's what our mission is as a fellowship. In fact, it's interesting, if over about 15 years ago, if you look at statistics, some of us like to read statistics and details. Over 15 years ago, our denomination was in decline. Our churches were declining about 4% per year in people, okay? And this, sadly, this is across the board. It's not just Fellowship Pacific churches. These are other denominations and other churches. Very common, 4% per year. So our fellowship looked at that and said, this is wrong. What are we going to do? And some of us have been around for a little while, and we've seen some of this. And maybe we even see it in our church family a little bit, the decline. So then this mission was added on, was voted by our churches, to leverage the collective strength of our churches for a God-honoring impact. And when we adopted this mission and we started working together as a group of churches, 3 years later, you know what? Our churches were growing by an average of 7% of people coming to Christ and becoming part of the local church. It's teamwork. It's teamwork. You are a part of a larger group. In fact, we have a team. You don't have to be alone. I think sometimes we forget this. When I pastored for 15 years in churches, I sometimes thought we were alone. And Fellowship Pacific wants you to know that you're not alone. In fact, we are work with not only churches, which we have just about 90 churches in BC and Yukon. We have about 500 across the country, fellowship-wise. But in our region, we actually work with other partners. And here's some of them. We work with a network of other organizations. BC Baptist Foundation is the largest faith-based seniors care provider in BC. Did you know that? The largest private seniors care provider in BC is one of our partners to see people come to Christ and discipled. We have camps. Maybe some of you are part of Kwanos or a part of Sunnybrae. And others. We have schools like Northwest Seminary, which has been mentioned, Global Korean Mission Center. We work with other missions. Maybe this church is a part of some of them. New Hope, which works with refugees coming into our country, with migrant workers, which works with migrant workers coming into this country temporary. By the way, our migrant workers ministry, on an average, 40 men come to Christ every year. Unbelievable ministry. And they go back to mostly Mexico and Guatemala and bring Christ back there. That's what they do. First Nations ministry, I'll share this one a little bit later. We work together with over 105 churches in BC and Yukon. We have, these are some interesting stats which I didn't know a lot. Do you know that we have in the Fellowship Pacific $750 million in assets to accomplish God's work? So we can plant churches. So we can help churches grow. So we can disciple people. So much. That's a lot. Perhaps you're familiar with some of this group. Perhaps not. God wants us to know that we are not small. We are not small. Oak Ridge Baptist is not small. Oak Ridge Baptist is a part of this. We are on our team, on a team. And so he says, are we playing in the game as a church? Are we playing in the game as individuals for this group, this team? But are we playing together as Oak Ridge Baptist with our larger group? Do you remember, anybody know the town of Lytton? Anybody driven through the town of Lytton? Maybe. It's a town that's probably maybe 3-4 hours from here. As you go up through the canyon, the number one. And do you remember what happened to the town of Lytton about 4 or 5 years ago? it burned to the ground. The entire town. The fire went through and it decimated the entire town. One of our sister Vancouver sister churches, Faith Fellowship, had a gentleman, a pastor by the name of Peter Park. He's now at another church, but he in our fellowship, but he was there. And he led teams to Lytton up until that time happened. And so he had gone there for many years. And so his love for Jesus and his love for the people of Lytton, he said, we have to do something. And so he reached out to a number of churches. This is part of the team. And they threw this family festival, they called it, to raise money, to give opportunities for our churches to be involved. And now they had an opportunity, because of the work of Peter Park over the number of years, Lytton actually asked them to come and help. So we had churches from Sparwood in BC, from Fernie, from Langley, and from Vancouver go up and help Lytton and bring them food and clothing and water and even time, a little time for fun, to just take a perspective away of their everyday hard life of what happened to their town. We can do more as a team together. And in fact, you know what? Lytton keeps asking them to come back. And it opens the door for Jesus Christ. That's what we do as a team. The good news of Jesus Christ requires a team. But are we playing on the same team? It's interesting that Paul here in verses 16 and 17 says this. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. In fact, it says, avoid them. For such persons do not serve Christ, our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul tells us that some people weren't playing on the team. Or they joined the team, but it was for their own selfish reasons. There are some in our churches who want their own agenda. Do you know why you have vision and mission and values? It's to bring everybody together, to help us focus so we don't have our own agendas. But here there were people that wanted actually to tear the team apart. They were dividing the church, it says here, through lies and clever words. So Paul tells the team and tells our team, he says, identify them and avoid them, and God will take care of us as we do. OBC is better when you choose to be on the team. Fellowship Pacific is better when Oak Ridge chooses to be on the team. Actually, we have Impact coming up in 3 weeks, which is our regional convention. I don't know if you're coming, but I look forward to you being there. It's in Penticton this year. We need you a part of the team. Lastly, are we playing for the same team for the good news? Are we playing for the same team for the good news? Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. So to the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. God says the reason we have a team, the whole point of playing on the team, the purpose for our lives is Jesus Christ, is sharing Jesus Christ, is loving Jesus Christ, is honoring him, is following him, and it's introducing others to him. You know, I think we sometimes feel that we don't have to be on the team, that our decisions don't matter, but every decision we make matters. If we're not on the team, we're actually against the team. We can't stand idly by. It's interesting, he uses the word mystery here in verse 25, and essentially mystery here has to do with God's program of uniting believing Jews and Gentiles into one body, the church. And this is what Paul's message often was. The simple fact that we can work together, even though we have that we are very different, actually reveals Jesus Christ. Isn't it a miracle that some of us get along? Ever think about that? Think about your own marriage, if you're married, or relationship. Isn't it a miracle that sometimes we can get along? Throw in culture. Isn't it sometimes a miracle that we can get along? Throw in different ages, different generations, all of that. That's what he's talking about here. He says, the mystery is that in Jesus Christ, we can all come together as a team and go forward. And that fact alone is what others will see. That is what Jesus died for. That is what Jesus lives for. And he did that for us. And so he says, Oak Ridge, just let people see how you get along. And they will see Jesus, because he is the miracle worker that makes that happen. This is the goal of our churches. This is our vision. I shared with you the mission before. Our vision is to innovatively develop relationships and resources. So do everything we can relationally and resource that propel every Fellowship Pacific church, including Oak Ridge Baptist Church, to be accountable to our shared gospel mandate, to reach others for Christ and to help them grow. I better go quick. We don't have much time for this, but our board, which represents our churches, which represents you to the fellowship, has given a mandate of our fellowship to see in the next 5 years, and it started in 2023, and these are some of the things. Just so you know where our church family is going. One, a discernible positive joy and ownership within churches and between churches. We desire to see our churches work together. Where does your church work with other churches in the fellowship and in your local community up and down the street here? In 5 years, we want to see that grow. We believe it will, actually. At least 125 churches in Fellowship Pacific is what we're aiming for. Currently, we have just over 90 plus some church plants. We're looking for God to grow. In fact, this impact that we're talking about church planting, and if you come or if you look, we can go online a little bit, you will hear stories of some of our church planters and where they're planting. At least 20 new church plants from 23 to 28. You know, when we started this, we now have 7 in 2 years. We're almost halfway there, but we're almost halfway with our church plants. It's amazing what God is doing. In 5 years, we want to see a minimum of 2,500 identified leaders who have participated in some form of leadership training. At least 500 of whom are under the age of 30. We're targeting intentionally young leaders. They will carry the torch. Many of you here are young leaders. You will carry the torch. You are carrying the torch for next generations. And 200 whom are multi-ethnic leaders. We are a multi-ethnic region. You are a multi-ethnic church. Everyone needs to be developed. And we want to see in 5 years people coming to Christ in every church in every year and seeing people baptized. And at least 75% of our churches being healthy or in a good position to go forward. Not about being reactionary, but being proactive. Those are some of the desires. Let me finish with this story. This is, does anybody know where the island of Ahauzit is? Ahauzit is a First Nations island off of Tofino. It takes a 45-minute boat ride, usually by boat taxi, they call it, to this island. And First Nations band, the Ahauzit band, is there. And it's actually, they are called, I believe it's Maktusis is their name. There is a couple, his name is Jacob and her name is Rachel, and they are Korean missionaries who went there about 6 years ago, and God had called them. If you go to our Impact this year, you will see their story. Actually, if you go online, we have their story online in our Fellowship Pacific website. It's an amazing story. And they spent 6 years there. 2 years ago, they came to our fellowship and said, Todd, I think we're being called to plant a church here, not just being missionaries anymore. We actually want to plant a church to grow in this community. Last March, a year ago today, I was with them. The band has officially accepted Mactusi's Community Church as their church on the island. There is no other church there. If you follow BC and you follow history, this is a miracle. This does not happen. But this is our God. He makes it happen. Their church is basically, it has some adults, but it's built on young adults and youth. Their desire is to develop their young adults and youth to grow up and to change their culture. What an amazing opportunity. What an amazing challenge. Last summer, at least four Fellowship Pacific churches partnered with others to send Mactusis and two band youth to an Aboriginal youth conference. 52 students went from Mactusis. That's almost 80% of the youth in the Mactusis Village High School. 80% of the high school went to this event. When it was done, these are the results. Several decided to give up their lives of addiction. Several believed and confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord. And even six youth were baptized. What amazing! That's our God. That's what happens when team comes together. We think miracles are these things that, you know, we pray desperately for. That's where God lives. He lives to give as his children are faithful. Many of these youth have since come back to the village, shared their testimonies, impacted the village, and how it is being restored by the next generation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, team. The good news of Jesus Christ requires a team. And when that team steps up, miracles happen. And Jesus Christ becomes the center. I pray that for Oak Ridge too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we are on a team. Thank you through Paul's life that he needed a team, and we get to hear that and see that and know that. Lord, thank you that we all have the opportunity to play on this team that you've created, that you continue to create. I thank you for the team here at Oak Ridge. I thank you for those who have stepped up, those who we see maybe in a public sphere, those who step up behind the scenes that maybe we don't see, but we experience their work and their hard work and their presence. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for them, for you, for those here. Lord, thank you for the opportunities to step up as a team. And we pray for more. Lord, thank you for the heart of this church family that desires to see people come to Christ, that desires to see people grow in Christ. Lord, thank you for the calling here to be a multicultural church family, loving God, loving others, and serving the world. Lord, thank you that Oak Ridge is part of something larger called Fellowship Pacific. May Oak Ridge know their role in that as they have in the past and be able to step into that as well, Lord, what you're calling this church family to be and become. And Father, we just thank you that you deeply love us and that you're carrying us forward and that you're providing and you will continue to provide. And Lord, I look forward to hearing the stories that you're creating in Oak Ridge that will encourage the rest of our family, of churches and people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us all stand for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let me encourage you with these words from Colossians 1, Paul's prayer to the church in Colossae, and for us this week. I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and may you endure with patience and joy this week, giving thanks to the Father.